It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, Satellite Guys, welcome to another exciting edition of the SatelliteGuys.us podcast. And I understand we're supposed to have a special guest this week, but that kind of fell through, Scott.
Yeah, we're supposed to have Parker McConaughey from Dish Network on with us this week. But unfortunately, he couldn't make it because of all the stuff going on this week at Dish Network. We'll get into more about that in a little bit. But another thing I want to talk about before we go any further, if you're a Satellite Guys pub member, I invite you all to check the Advisory Council forum. And I put up the new rules that we're going to be implementing here at Satellite Guys soon. It's a rough draft, and we're looking for your feedback. The Advisory Council members will have a chance to add and make their voice known about the new rules and what they like and what they don't like. If you're not a supporting pub member, unfortunately you won't see them until we do it, but you can become a supporting pub member and get access to that area where decisions are made about the future of Satellite Guys. And, you know, we've been working on this now for about almost 3 months in the admin area. And I finally got off my butt in the past couple weeks here and started converting over the big Microsoft Word document into HTML. And I'm very happy with the results so far, other than a couple spelling and cutting and pasting mistakes. But the future of Satellite Guys looks great.
Yeah, it's. I've looked over the rules, and it's definitely a long time coming. And not only that, where else on what other sites can you go to and have your voice heard about the new rules that we are planning to implement, and also the fact that you can help shape and form those rules to so that way you can say, hey, I want to be a part of this community, and I object to this, and maybe we can change this, and maybe this is a better way of doing things.
Right, and one thing that I'm really, really impressed with is, you know, I announced a couple weeks ago that some new rules would be coming down the line, and people thought we would really be tightening our belts and becoming like other forums, and, you know, silencing a lot of people's opinions on things, but that's not what's happening here. In fact, some of the most vocal people who were upset about us putting in new rules are actually very happy with the new rules we're putting in place, and I'm very happy to see that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we're here to make sure that you get the most out of your satellite equipment, but at the same time, we want you to be most relaxed and able to discuss the things that you want to discuss aside from hacking, but that is a total different issue. And we want to make sure that you have the most laid back and the best experience that Satellite Guys can deliver for you.
Right. I'm real proud of the new rules. So if you are a supporting pub member, stop into that forum and check things out there. Again, if you're not a supporting pub member, it's only $20 a year. That money goes to keep Satellite Guys running, pays for our bandwidth and our energy and everything else we need to pay for. It pays for our licenses for all the software we have. It goes to a good cause. It's a $20 donation to become a pub member, but it's well worth it for all the information you get and all the inside information you get. We post a lot of rumors there. We post a lot of information. And in a pub member area, which we call the pub, is a great time. A lot of people have it's like a community in there where people know everybody, and it's a real nice thing. So consider doing that. And right now, I want to go into why there's no Parker this week, and while this isn't officially why there's no Parker, this is my opinion on why there's no Parker this week. It's because of a mistake that Dish Network made last week. Did you happen to catch it, Bob?
Yeah, I caught it. In fact, I was going to Dish Network HD's website, and I saw the fact that they were planning to launch 1080 progressive high-definition movies downloaded from the satellite to your receiver.
Right. They launched an entire new website talking about the new Dish HD packages, which are coming on August 1st. The problem is that it seems, and this is not official again, it seems like the webmaster over at Dish Network uploaded the wrong website to the wrong web server. So what people saw was not supposed to be seen yet and wasn't really finished. What you saw there was probably a real rough draft because the wording was really off, and you could tell it wasn't finished So that was really interesting. But if you've been a Satellite Guys podcast listener for a while now, you will notice that me and Bob have been talking for the past couple podcasts and about Dish Network going to be offering 1080p video on demand in the future. And we were talking about it with the 722S, which is the one with the sling box built into it, which is going to be available sometime next year, probably mid next year. So this kind of took me by surprise because I wasn't expecting the 722K, which is coming out to support it. And, you know, some interesting things happening. I'm just wondering if they do this, since they're planning on launching this website around August 1st, if, you know, the older receivers are compatible with doing 1080p. That remains to be unseen, but if Dish can do it, it's going to be a major leg up over DirecTV, who can only offer you 1080i. One thing I'm worried about, though, is if Dish Network can really offer you Blu-ray quality 1080p video, are people going to start really, really complaining about Dish Network's real HD feeds, their satellite feeds? Because, as you know, Dish Network is compressing their satellite feeds, and they're also down-resing them a little bit. You know, some people call it a little HD light. And while it's not really noticeable to most, if you have a 1080p set and you do a Dish Network VOD at 1080p and then go switching to a Dish Network channel, you're going to say, why isn't the picture as good here? And that may be a problem for Dish in the future.
Yeah, I could see that being a problem, especially with people saying, hey, you know, I'm watching Monday Night Raw and I see little micro blockings for every fast scene, which is practically every scene. And they go to watch a movie like John Cena, the Marine, and they say, wow, they're blown away by it. But they want the same experience with that VOD as they want with their normal TV viewing.
Right. And to go off on Raw for a little bit, because I've had watched the Raw feeds, the Raw HD feeds via free-to-air setup. And actually, the Raw feeds is probably not a good example, because their feed that they're sending to USA Network is that compressed and micro-blocked already. And we can't really blame that one on Dish Network, because that's the way WWE is sending it out.
Yeah, Scott, I agree with you. And I was just trying to use that as an example, so that way a user could get an idea of what exactly we're talking about with HD and HD Lite.
The way I'd go with it was, like, let's say HBO. You watch the movie on Dish Network's VOD, and it can be any movie. We'll just say The Bucket List. And The Bucket List looked great in 1080p. And then you're going to go watch it on HBO again, and it just doesn't have that same pop. And you're going to say, what happened to this? You know, that's where people are going to really see it. And it's really interesting, and it was a neat mistake to see them make. And it's not the first time they made a mistake throwing a website online before it was ready to be online. And I'm sure it's not going to be the last time they do it, but it was interesting to see them do it and see them scramble when they realized they put the website up that wasn't supposed to be up.
Yeah, it was one of those big, oh shit moments, and you know, you could really see where they're trying to steal the thunder of Extreme HD. While that hasn't officially gotten off ground yet, you know, they're trying to steal the idea essentially and say, hey, if they could do this, why can't we?
Right, and what's going to make things really interesting, and this is going to hurt Extreme HD. In fact, it may kill Extreme HD from the way I see things, is that the 722S, which is coming out next year, will have a 1 terabyte drive. And 500 gigabytes of that drive will be dedicated to 1080p movies. So when you buy a 722S, you're going to get about 30 to 40 movies already loaded on there. When you plug your 722S in there, you're already going to have movies in there. And those movies are going to be rotated out over the satellite, of course. But when you buy a 722S, when you plug it in, you're already going to have lots of HD content there. And this is pure 1080p content. And it's going to wow a lot of people. And I don't know how a company like Extreme HD can survive. Number one, they haven't announced any content deals yet, so they don't have any content. And number two, they haven't announced any satellite plans, where they're going to be and where their movies are going to be from. So this could be a big problem for Extreme HD, especially, you know, considering they haven't launched their service yet, and Dish will have theirs up first.
Guys, this 722S box is going to be one hot item, especially with the fact that it's going to be coming with Slingbox capabilities, meaning these VOD movies, the live TV. You can stream anywhere over the internet. Like, let's say you want to watch ESPN NASCAR at your office. If you have it pre-DVR'd, you can go watch that at your office when you're not doing work.
Yep, and it's got some of the new sling stuff that's coming out, like the clipping sling. That means if you're watching WWE Raw and, you know, someone screws up and they break their leg or whatever, and you say, oh my God, you see so-and-so broke their leg last night? And they'll say no, and you'll go back in your DVR, rewind it. You hit a button on your remote, and you'll actually cut and paste your that scene, and you can send it to somebody in email where they can watch that video that you saw, so you can share clips of your favorite TV shows with other people.
So, Scott, we're going to go ahead and switch gears now.
Yeah, the big shift from satellite TV to satellite radio. Finally, after, 494 days, I believe.
Something like 16 months.
Yeah, the FCC has finally approved the XM buyout by Sirius. And, you know, we've been calling it a merger, but, you know, in reality, it's a buyout by Sirius. They're buying out XM. And it was approved by FCC, and they only had to grease the FCC's fingers with $17.9 million.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, the fact that that's all they had to pay to be able to get this merger finally to happen. And the market so far has been reacting pretty positively to the news. We'll find out Monday or tomorrow exactly what's going on with how the market reacts to all this. But finally, it's over. They can start dedicating their programming and start doing real programming and get out of this little sleeping slumber that they've been in the past 16 months.
Yeah, XM is programming quality has gone downhill terribly. They lost two key programming people. They lost Lee Abrams, and then they lost Eric Logan, who were, you know, basically steering the ship. And right now there's nobody in XM's programming. So that doesn't leave me too hopeful about the future of XM's programming, while I see Sirius picking up the ball and really running with it now, since basically Sirius is going to be in control of XM. Mel Karmazin is going to be the CEO of the combined company. And they do not have a name yet for the company. They don't know if they're going to use XM or Sirius, but if I were them, I would use XM. You know, Sirius, for a long time, people couldn't say Sirius. They were calling it Cyrus. It's a hard name to remember. While XM fits in really perfect with AM, FM, and XM, it's the next logical step. So I do hope they keep the XM name and get rid of the Sirius name, which a lot of people could never pronounce. It's hard to type in if you're looking for it. Some people are typing in Sirius, S-E-R-I-O-U-S, and all these other things. And you know, XM is just XM radio. It's really easy to get to and easy to remember. So be really interesting to see where they go. And the FCC ordered them in the merger agreement to come out with interoperable radios that are radios that can pick up both services within the next 9 months. So I'm going to be looking forward to seeing some of those. One of the things that hasn't been addressed at all in this merger is what's going to happen to Sirius's video service, Sirius Backseat Video. I currently have Sirius Backseat Video in my truck for my kids, and it's a great service and runs great. I just hope I don't wake up one day and find it turned off because they're you know, combining channels and cutting costs and doing all this stuff here. I'd like to see that continue in the future and would not like to have a useless Sirius Backseat Video unit that I paid a lot of money for.
Yeah, Scott, you know, I was always wondering, now that Sirius has bought out XM, on Dish Network, they have Sirius Music, whereas DirecTV, they have XM. I was wondering if we'll start seeing Sirius Music merge over to DirecTV now.
It's hard to say. You know, if I was in control and if I was Mel Karmazin, I would take the Sirius 70s and 80s channels and shut down XM's versions of those. The personalities that Sirius has on these channels are great. On the 80s channels, it's all the original VJs from MTV. You got Mark Goodman, you got Nina Blackwood, you got Adam Hunter. It's a really, really great, you know, to hear these personalities because you remember them. I remember them as a kid growing up with them introducing videos to me on MTV. And now here they are introducing the same songs on Sirius, and it's really great. Well, XM is mostly automated. It's very rare to hear, you know, live people on there. They do have live people, but they're not 24/7 like they are on Sirius Satellite Radio. And I'd like to see those two combined and offered to XM subscribers, because that would be a nice cost-cutting measure, but give people a good 70s and 80s channel. The 60s channel on XM, though, is superior than any oldies channel that they have on Sirius. What I would do, though, for the 60s channel is I would take Cousin Brucey over to the XM channel and add him to the mix. what XM does with their 60s channel is it actually sounds like you're listening to a real 60s channel. The DJs sound like they're in the 60s. They have the reverb and echo in their voices and everything else like that. So, you know, they got to really go through the channels one by one and say, I want this one from XM. I want this one from Sirius, and come up with a great lineup for people.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they decide to revamp the lineup, because I can guarantee there's going to be a lineup revamp coming somewhere down the line. So we'll see. But, you know, Scott, people started seeing some signals from DirecTV 11 and started posting in the forum this week.
Yeah, there's stuff going on there. And give credit to P. Smith, or Smith P., whatever he wants to be identified as today. He's figured out how to interpret the code from the DirecTV satellite's programming guide information and has been able to find out a bunch of stuff that they're just testing DirecTV 11 with. However, while we're speaking about DirecTV 11, I'm hearing a rumor that by the end of the week, we could actually see some new channels broadcasting on DirecTV 11 for everybody. And that may be a really, really exciting thing, considering that Dish Network is also adding its new HD channels this week.
Right, that's also Master Deals has been reporting all along that we could also see the MPEG-2 to MPEG-4 transition happen this week, at least the beginnings where the MPEG-4 channels appear, like ESPN, ESPN2, HDNet, HDNet Movies, Universal, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all going over, and it's all good no matter who you have for your satellite provider. The HD is going to keep getting better and better and better from both companies. They're going to be offering more. One thing I want to say about DirecTV 11, and a lot of people are expecting it to be like DirecTV 10, where they wake up one morning and find 50 new HD channels. They've only got so much national room on DirecTV 11. The rest of it is all used for local and local high definition locals there. So they're going to be very selective in what they offer nationally. And don't expect a big rollout of channels. You'll see little clusters here and there. But for the next year, year and a half, that's all the space they really have to play with. So they're going to be really selective about what new HD channels they offer to their customers. And Dish Network, same thing. They just upped, they launched a new satellite, which is currently at 135, I believe, and is doing some testing there. And some Satellite Guys members have actually picked up signals from that location as they're testing. Some basic stuff with a spectrum analyzer showing that it's there and alive, but testing is going to begin very soon there. But when that moves, it's going to be moving to the 110 orbital location and is not going to really offer any more real space for national HD. So don't expect a lot from either provider coming up in the next couple months. I mean, they're going to be adding stuff, but it's not going to be... just oodles and oodles of HD, unfortunately.
Yeah, they've hit their rock bottom until 2009 when they launched a couple new birds, especially with Dish Network and the loss of AMC-14 that they had about 3-4 months ago.
Oh, very interesting. You reminded me something about Dish Network and AMC-14, and I recently wrote an article about what's going to happen to Eastern Arc. And I was actually, telling them that maybe they should consider not doing it. And I just received word this weekend, and it's not official word, but it seems like plans are full speed ahead for Eastern Arc, which kind of surprised me. And I'm going to try giving you the cities where this is going to launch at here. Just punching this up on my computer here. Okay, here we go. Eastern Arc is expected to launch on August 20th, and it's going to be for HD-only customers, and in the following 21 markets, installers will be able to use the new Eastern Arc dish for new HD-only customers. Dish is still working on the standard definition stuff, which is going to be on the other satellites there, but they're going to start rolling out the new dishes in the new markets, and for the first time ever... we're here proud here at the Satellite Guys podcast to tell you about the 21 markets that are going to be the first ones on Eastern Arc. So here we go. Number one is Cleveland, Ohio. Number two, Richmond, Virginia. Number three, Tampa, Florida. Number four, Baltimore, Maryland. Number five, Columbia, South Carolina. Number six, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Number seven, Greensboro, North Carolina. Number eight, Providence, Rhode Island. Number 9, Greenville, South Carolina. Number 10, Knoxville, Tennessee. Number 11, Raleigh, North Carolina. Number 12, Goalie Bob's hometown, Chicago, Illinois.
Yay.
Number 13, the home of dishstore.net, Detroit, Michigan. Number 14 is Charlotte, North Carolina. Number 15 is where our servers lie, Dallas, Texas. Number 16, Nashville, Tennessee. Number 17, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Number 18, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Number 19, the capital, Washington, D.C. Number 20, New York, New York. And finally, my hometown, Hartford, Connecticut, at number 21. Those are the 21 markets that are expected to launch Eastern ARC services on August 20th.
Well, Scott, I'm surprised Boston is not on that list, being that you're almost right there by Boston.
Yeah, I don't know what they, how they came up with all the towns that they selected here, but those are going to be the initial ones where retailers will be able to install the Eastern ARC dish. And this is only for new HD-only customers, and they'll be able to aim them at 61.5 with the new Eastern ARC dish, and they'll be all set for the future when additional stuff launches in Eastern ARC.
Right, and you know, speaking of launches, you know, it's going to be exciting this week, because this week is August 1st, and Dish is supposed to launch a bunch of brand new high-definition channels.
Yeah, all the HD channels from HBO, Starz, the two wastes of bandwidth, in my opinion, the Lifetime channels, the two Lifetime channels there, and Planet Green from Discovery Channel will be launching this week. So it's going to be really interesting to see those. And, you know, I'm happy for a lot of new HD, and some people are going to be really happy, and other people are going to say, what's this garbage that they put up there? Why didn't they add Channel X?
Oh, come on.
And we always get that every time.
Oh, come on now, Scott. They got to appeal to everybody. If they can throw up something like World Fishing Network, then, you know, you got to count Lifetime in there in the Green Dot channel.
Yeah, well, Lifetime Movie Network, I guess, is, you know, to appease the women out there who don't really understand HD. Maybe this will sell some more HD now that the women have a channel for themselves. So actually, two channels, because they have Lifetime and Lifetime Movie Network coming. But, you know, no matter what channels launch, and, you know, for me and you, Bob, we thought USA Network HD and Sci-Fi Channel were great, and other people said, those are crappy channels, give me some real HD content. So you can never make everybody happy, but both companies are working to give people the channels they want. Also hearing a rumor that we'll be seeing some more HD coming from Dish, possibly by the end of August. And again, you heard that here on the podcast first.
Well, Scott, that's the music, and, you know, next week will be exciting with all these channel launches.
Yep, and keep it tuned right here to SatelliteGuys.us, because we're going to tell you about everything before anybody else, because we're good at that.
And real quick, don't forget to vote for us at Podcast Alley, and we'll see you next week.
See ya!
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.